nice big kitchen. And you can see out in the back garden there, there's a nice big garden with a hedge at the back and shed there and a tree which has seen better days, but that's a swing will be coming from off that tree. And so we bought this house with children in mind. Big, big back garden and big, big front garden and lots of places for kids to cycle around the front and play out the back there. We've got nearly an acre of garden, so it's fairly big as you can see.
John and his wife Mary, not their real names, live and work in Dublin and have been happily married for 11 years. But for them, there's still something missing.
We want a baby. Desperately.
We've two great cars, two houses, I collect motorbikes, we've got boats, we've got paintings, loads of things, because we've no kids.
We have another house down the country.
You know, we're
That is bigger than this house.
We're 11 years enjoying ourselves, we've loads of stuff. We've no kids, so...
Would you give it all up in the morning?
The lot. Everything.
The whole lot of it.
Everything.
Absolutely.
We got new neighbours recently and the boys are out, there's two little boys out in the back garden on a trampoline. And we're sitting out in the garden reading the paper, whatever, and we can hear them playing and it's lovely.
So nice.
Really, really nice. And we can hear them, the older one changing the rules of all the games to get one over the younger one, and it's just what little boys do. It's funny. Very funny.
It's nice to have them around. But it's sad as well. Because they're not yours. Stood that night even when we were babysitting and the little one-year-old came into the bed to us that following morning and he just came in and I put my arms around him and he just came on lay on my chest and I rubbed his head and he just went off sleep and I just lay there rubbing him and thinking, you know, it's so unfair.
And I was looking over the two of them and going, you look so comfortable. You're really, really good at it. And he just went to sleep.
They just kept thinking, I wish it was mine.
For 10 years now, the couple has been trying to have a baby, spending thousands on medical procedures. It's been a difficult and an emotional journey, but they are still determined to have their dream family. They are now about to try, for the very last time, on the most severe drugs available on the market through the IVF process, to become parents.
Do you want to show me all the mess that you have in your fridge?
Yeah, sure.
Because there are quite a number.
There's quite a drugstore.
Now, there was some, one of the drugs on it, they said, I was lucky I got them because they were hard to get. And that's them all sitting there and they have to be kept refrigerated. Some of them don't and it's a good job because I wouldn't fit them all into the fridge. I have so many drugs.
So what happens now, Mary?
Everything is waiting to go. I just have to wait until I get my period. So, yeah, there's a lot of drugs this time. A lot of needles. I have the sharps box. I keep that out here, out in the conservatory. The sharp slot is one of the big sharp boxes, and as you can see, it's pretty full of all the needles and syringes and everything. It's all in there. That's the last year and a half's amount of needles are in that.
Have you chosen the sperm donor already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Looks like my best friend.
Have you seen a photograph? No, but the
description is...
You get a description of the donor. He's a teacher. He's...
Danish.
Danish. He's
Because the sperm is coming from Denmark.
From Denmark, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He's 6'3".
Brown eyes.
He's got brown eyes. And he's got brown hair.
There's a few other little descriptive details about him, but it basically described my best friend.
But it's not too dissimilar to yourself,
no,
either.
Absolutely
not. But
that's
not. It, they try and match it.
As closely as possible, you know. But it is funny, because my best friend, his son, looks nothing like him. So it's not beyond the bounds of reality, you know.
So hopefully if it all works, anybody, and we do hopefully have a baby, and anybody looks at this little thing and says, God, he's not like John at all.
Or I said, God, he's a spitting image of John Owl. There you go.
Yeah. he's going to be tall like his daddy, and he's got brown hair like his daddy. Hopefully that's what we'll be laughing about in 9 months.
About a quarter of Irish couples have difficulty in getting pregnant. For John and Mary, they found out they couldn't naturally conceive shortly after getting married.
In 2000, the year 2000, we were a year married and we decided we'd go and start a family. So we tried and tried and tried and nothing was happening. So then we went to our GP.
Because what came up, came out of it was I have Klinefelter syndrome, which is, it's not zero sperm count, it's even lower than zero. It's absolutely nothing. And I remember I had to go to the, to give my sample 3 times. And there was always a good looking nurse you're handing it. That's just the way. And so we discovered that at least at that stage, we knew.
We would have been late 20s, very early 30s. So we decided, after hearing this, we went away on a holiday. We decided while we were away, we'll go for adoption. So we went and applied for the adoption in 2006. And we didn't hear from the HSE, I think, for about 2 years. And we went and we did the whole preparation course. Like, it took months, all of this. Social worker interviews. We each were interviewed 7 times. Our social worker came here to the house and my God, did we scrub this house down. The gardens was cut. The bedding plants were put in. It was...
They're actually looking at your house to see if they will allow you to adopt a child. And is this house suitable?
Your bleaches and everything like that you'd normally have in a press in the bathroom. Everything was taken out, put and hidden into the garage for that visit.
Because a child might take it and drink it if it's at floor level and...
But anyway, that was grand. She came, we had a good meeting with her and she approved us for adoption, which is great. And we had decided all along we were going to go to Vietnam because we wanted a baby. We wanted as young as possible. And we had heard Vietnam is the quickest. And applied down to Cork, to the agency down there who looks after the Vietnamese adoptions. We made the appointment to go down and see them. And 2 days before we were due to go down, they rang and said, we're not taking any more papers. Vietnam's closed off.
So how long through the process had you been at this point?
Just shy of 5 years, so it was, I think, in the end.
So we decided, right, we went back to the GP and she said, listen, go back and think about doing the donor sperm. But we came home and we talked about it. And talked a lot about it and how John would feel about it more so than anything. And we decided, let's go for it. So we went back to the GP and she said, right, because of your age, because we had wasted so much time.
And how old were you at this point?
I was 38.
And John, you would have been?
39 here between us.
So because of our age, our doctor said... referred us down to Clane Fertility Clinic. We have tried I've gone through 4 IUI cycles. Intrauterine insemination. It's basically where they're taking the donor sperm and they're just inserting it into me. Okay, at the right time of the month. 2 of them had to be cancelled. The 3rd time it did work. They rang me and I was pregnant. But I lost it about a week and a half after that then. And the 4th IUI just didn't work. And they don't know why, it didn't work. The first IVF, for some reason, when it got my pH levels and all that kind of thing, the bloods, they just weren't getting to the stage they wanted them.
So you've been through 4 IUIs.
4 IUIs.
1 IVF.
Yes.
And now this is
And now we're going
time.
For the 2nd IVF. And... I'm going on an antagonist approach this one and it's going to be a lot more drugs involved this time and it's basically injections morning and night for this 2nd one.
But this is it.
That's it, kiddo.
Money tree is starting to wilt away.
Mm-hmm.
But
so fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Over the next month, I'll be following John and Mary on their IVF journey. A journey which will also take me to the Clain Fertility Clinic in Kildare. It's a road the couple have been down before, but this time, after a decade of trying, it's their last and final attempt at having a baby.
Now, I won't do it yet because it's a bit early, but I'm going to be doing this one, the gonal F. And
it's March 16th and I'm over at John and Mary's. So it's the first day of their IVF drug injections.
And the next one I'm going to be doing, it doesn't have to be in the fridge because there's no room. It's called Lufris. And this is the new one that I'm not sure about. But it's because of my age.
So it's like a booster.
Yes. This is hopefully going to boost and give me loads of follicles.
The injections Mary's taking are severe and can have many side effects. But they're necessary for follicles to grow in her ovaries. The reason follicles are so important is because most of them contain eggs, which can then be fertilised.
I have to get the belly out. So now I have a little needle. It's just pinch your stomach like that. And I just put it in. Like they tell me I have to do everything between 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock in the evening. It's now, almost 7 o'clock on the button. And that's me pushing it in now, the fluid. And I want to do it before Emmerdale comes on as well. And out. So that's that one done. They've warned John to be careful that I could be crying a lot. I could be very weepy. I could be in a strop at times. So it's more for John to be warned, keep out of my way maybe.
But he's away,
so I'm here on my own, so I can cry and strop and do whatever I want as much as I want until he comes back.
And how did he take the news today that you'd started, or that you were about to start?
Well, it's killing him that he's not here with me. I'm lonesome because I don't have him. Sorry, I'm going to start crying. I don't have him here with me, but worried about him away too. But I have to do it. It's the last chance. I don't want to waste another month or two waiting. You know, because he's away and then I have to wait maybe a month or two before it works again. So now, my syringe. And here we go. Here's the solution going in now. So, and we're done. And we'll do the same again tomorrow night.
Until Monday.
Go back on Monday to Clain, and we'll see, hopefully, that this medication is doing what it's supposed to be and there's going to be follicles there.
Good morning. It's 7 o'clock on Monday, the 21st of March. On RTÉ Radio 1, this is Morning Ireland with Gavin Jennings and Cathal McCullough.
Today's securing the skies above Libya. Another night of missile attacks, but will the Americans take out Gaddafi?
The car journey from Dublin to the Clain Fertility Clinic in Kildare is one that Mary and John are very familiar with. It's 6 days now since Mary started her IVF injections and she's back at the clinic to meet nurses Martina and Gladys.
So Mary, we're going to do your blood test first today before we take you through for your scan. Now, big deep breath in for me now.
It's a big day for Mary, her first bloods and scans since starting the fertility drug injections. She's being examined by Martina and Gladys to see if the costly injections are working and if there are any follicles on her ovaries.
Is there anything there?
Yeah, you have some follicles here. I'm just on the right ovary now. So I'm just going to measure these. So we have 11.
Well, we've never had anything on that side before.
Okay, so we have one follicle here that's at 11. And you've two little small ones that are less than 10. Okay. So you have some follicles, so well done.
That's the most we've ever had.
It is indeed.
It's a relief and great news for Mary. Follicles of different sizes have started to grow on both of her ovaries. But she's been warned not to get her hopes up. She has to wait for news of blood results, and success is ultimately far from guaranteed. Just one in four of the 40,000 women who go through IVF each year end up having a baby. And Mary knows all about the heartbreaking disappointments.
It's tough going. In the beginning, I was, you know, your first cycle, your second, when you do, and you think, oh, God, this is grand. But it does start to really drain you emotionally. So I would advise, if you are doing it, be prepared. It is a tough road to go down. And there are a lot of turns on it and bends. But do it, or you'll never know.
A few hours after leaving the clinic, Mary calls me with her blood results.
And the blood levels are up, which they should be. So basically, I am going to continue on the same drugs in the evening, the Gonalef and the Lufers. And they are putting me on another injection, so I've got three a day now. I'm going back down to Clane again on Wednesday morning at 7:15. I've got the very first appointment. I want to get an early appointment because I'm collecting John from the airport then. And hopefully that follicles will have got even bigger again.
It's a great start to the couple's IVF journey. Mary's bloods are up and she has some follicles. Without either, there can be no possibility of eggs, no point of a sperm donor, and ultimately no baby. It's 8 days now since Mary started her injections. She's back at the clinic for a checkup. She really needs those follicles to have gotten bigger or for others to have grown. The more follicles means the more of a chance of eggs for a baby.
So again, if the bloods are good, we'll see if we can push these on.
It's great news for the couple, but they're also mindful that every step along the journey means more money will be needed.
But a patient going through an IVF treatment, again, looking at a patient being Mrs. A or B with nothing else wrong or no other investigations that need to be done, will roughly be running into a cost of about €4,000 for IVF. They may be going a little further than IVF, where more money will be involved, or perhaps even less. And I can appreciate how hard it is for the patient, because, you know, if you go into a shop to buy a fur coat, the tag will be on it regardless of the type of lining that's in there. But that's not the case where medicine are concerned. And it's very true to say medicine and finance will never marry.
So, great.
Everything's going to plan.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm delighted.
So, Mary, you're rushing off now.
Yes.
You're going to collect John from the airport.
I am, yes.
He's coming back from his time.
Can't wait. I haven't seen him in nearly 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Well, John, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
How back are you?
Grand, thanks.
How was your trip away?
Grand, just a bit jet lagged.
John has been away while Mary has started her IVF injections. It's been isolating for him and he's been anxious.
So emotional roller coaster.
I was in a very remote part of Tanzania, so I didn't get a chance to ring home as often as I could. And I was worried, you know. I couldn't be there and I couldn't help out. And
in time for Emmerdale.
The only side effect I have is I'm bruised, but apart from that, there's no difference in me at all. Looking forward to tomorrow morning, hoping that the other two follicles in the left side have grown, and maybe that'll give them four follicles to work with, or, you know, they'll get as many eggs as possible. So fingers crossed for tomorrow morning. So we'll see what happens.
Well, she had told me over the phone the kind of good news, and I said, well, don't tell me until I get home. So that was when we had a lovely discussion at the airport about how big the follicles were, and follicles on left ovary and follicles on right ovary, and we had a good discussion
that's
about
the kind
that.
The conversation you have in the arrivals hall in the airport.
Terminal 2, you know. But it was a good conversation. It was a very good conversation. Be optimistic, be positive, keep the head up. There's nothing else you can do.
This is the best we've ever got as far.
We've never been this close, so It's all positive.
If there's three or four follicles there and they're the right size that they want, take them.
Go for it.
Go for it.
So if tomorrow then you decide to go for egg collection on Monday, we're entering into the zone of the sperm donation coming mm-hmm. into play.
Mm-hmm. He's down there.
He's down there. He's waiting. We know what he's like. He's tall. He's 6'2". He's got brown hair. What colour eyes?
He's brown eyes, I think.
Brown eyes. And he was a teacher. And yeah. He's from Denmark. And oh, yeah. I know all about him. He's sitting in a little container waving at us.
Yeah.
So, last evening before final scan, what's the plan?
We're going to the pub.
You're not drinking and we're going to the pub. Because I've been away for 11 days.
Yeah, so we're going down for dinner and a few drinks with neighbours down the road tonight. And
just take it easy. I said it sounds callous, but we've been disappointed before. So we're doing all that we can do to make it right and we're just going to get on with it. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Ten days after Mary started her injections, and it's a critical day down at the clinic.
So that follicle on the right has grown right up. And what we see on scan today, you have three dominant follicles.
Yes.
But we still don't know for definite whether there is an egg in each of those follicles.
Right.
Okay. With the size of the follicles at this point, if yourself and John are prepared and are happy to go to egg collection, I'm sure that Dr. Shamoon will be willing to take you. How are you feeling at this point about going to egg collection? Because I will be speaking on your behalf and being your advocate at
absolutely.
The lunchtime meeting.
Yes, absolutely. Go for it.
You're happy
yep.
to proceed.
Yep.
Okay. That's perfect. All right. Okay. So have a pen and piece of paper, hopefully, and we'll give you a call back and let you know everything. Be at the ready.
And give me the lot of numbers as well.
The lot of numbers, I know. All right, Mary. Look, our very best of luck.
Thanks,
okay.
Million. Thank you.
After about 2 hours, Mary's results are back.
She still has the three follicles, and we've counselled Mary and John at Lent about the possibilities of anywhere between 0 eggs and the maximum of 3 eggs. And the couple have decided that they are more than happy and absolutely delighted that they're going to make egg collection eventually. And we plan that herself and John are going to be at the unit on Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Then they will meet with the consultant, Dr. Shamoon, who will carry out their egg collection at exactly 9 o'clock that morning.
John and Mary have never made it this far with IVF before. There's a real chance they're now going to complete their family.
Nobody asks anymore. Because we've been married for 11 years, they automatically think, oh, you know, a year after you get married, you're going to have a baby. And then we didn't. And then 2 years and we didn't. And then three years later, we dropped the bombshell that we're going to adopt. You know, like you got in the first year or two, people going, go on, you want to get a move on. What's up with G and blah, blah. And you just love to tell them, you know, be a bit more sensitive. Maybe we all can't have kids like you. You'd love to just tell them to shut up. But you can't do that because you're keeping it all to yourself as well. So I think we haven't told many people what we're going through now because we have had a lot of disappointment and it could end up that it's not going to work this time either. And if it doesn't, well, they didn't know better in the first place, so we keep it to ourselves.
We haven't told as many people because they're going to get the surprise of their life when Mary gets pregnant. If Mary gets pregnant. Because they're all going to go, but we thought you couldn't conceive. So it's going to be a miracle.
Medical technology's
gone on. It's going to be a miracle. So we haven't told too many people about IVF. We've told one or two of our good special friends. And it's funny, everyone just said, yep, you want a baby, go for it. That's the way to go.
Rising Time on RTE Radio 1 with Shay Byrne.
Well, a very good morning to you. It's Monday, the 28th of March. Shay Byrne with you until 7.
Today at the clinic, it's hoped eggs will be found on Mary's follicles. It's been an emotional roller coaster for both of them, and they're waiting in their private room.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
I'm
well, thanks. Okay. Thank you. How are you this morning?
Excited, but I'm also very nervous. It's just all that's going round in your head. And then you're thinking, God, maybe in a few months' time then I'll have a different story to tell. You know, I'll be lying awake in bed wondering about having to go into the hospital to have a baby, hopefully.
A few minutes later, and Mary's been taken away for the procedure.
And you're going to grab your shirt.
The nurses are preparing Mary before Dr. Shamoon, the couple's gynaecologist, carries out what's hoped will be the egg collection.
How are you?
Good, you?
After about 20 minutes, the procedure is all over.
It went fine. Her response wasn't ideal because we have only 4 follicles. But we got 2 eggs out of the 4, which is just 50%. Average will be about 70-80%. But if the 2 eggs fertilize, she will end up having 2 embryos, which is quite reasonable for a reasonable chance of success.
How are you?
Grant. Just a little bit dozy in the head now, but no pain or anything like that. I just feel like I've had a few drinks on me.
Very happy day. So 2 eggs. We've never been this far before, have we?
No. So it's basically now to see will they fertilize.
So they're thawing out the sperm at the moment. It's hard to imagine that at this stage the making of what's hoped will be their baby is taking place in the clinic's lab. Embryologist Fabian Ward talks me through what's happening.
Here we have the 2 eggs that we recovered from Mary this morning, and we're just about to add an aliquot of the donor sperm to those eggs. So we're just doing that now. Then the dish is covered. This goes into an incubator, and the incubator is maintained at 37 degrees Celsius, which is body temperature. And we will not look at these again now until the earliest tomorrow morning.
Tuesday, the following day, and I get a phone call from Fabian.
Hi Fabian, how are you? What's the latest?
We had 2 eggs collected yesterday for John and Mary, and this morning we've one of those showing signs of normal fertilisation. So we're delighted with that.
So an embryo has formed?
Yeah, an early embryo, and we've scheduled a transfer for Mary at 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, so have you spoken to Mary and John? Are they delighted?
I have, and they're both delighted. I was speaking to both of them this morning, and they are so far cautiously optimistic.
Good morning.
Morning, how's you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Great.
Yeah. The next day and I'm back at the clinic. It's just over 2 weeks now since Mary started IVF. 15 days of tummy bruising and high hopes that this could be it. Today, the embryo that's been growing in the lab will be placed back into Mary, where it's hoped it will settle into its new home for the next 9 months.
How did you feel getting the news yesterday?
Oh, absolutely delighted. Absolutely thrilled. So please, God, it'll work. I've spent since yesterday morning talking to Fabian until now, waiting to get another phone call saying, no, it hasn't. It's not fertilising anymore. It's not going to work. But
fingers crossed we're here today and it's going to work. But we shall see.
I'm starting to cry now again. But hopefully this time. I'm bursting to go to the loo and I'm not allowed to go either. I have to wait. I think it's pure nerves and everything. But yeah, it's grand.
Oh, of course. Of course.
It's time. Nurse Martina and embryologist Fabian collect Mary for the procedure. Martina is now transferring the embryo into Mary's body, and within a matter of minutes, it's all over.
I feel grand. Didn't feel a thing in there. Martina was brilliant. And sure, I was in and out in minutes. Felt nothing. It's in there, so it's all... It's out of my hands now. I just have to take it easy and... That's it. God will do its work now.
And 9:30 on the 12th, we shall know.
It's been almost 2 weeks since I saw John and Mary at the clinic. The night before they're due back for their pregnancy test, I catch up with them at their home.
What's going on? What have you been doing?
The guttering. The shed. That other shed.
We're converting the shed down there into an office.
Because we're going to be using the front room for the baby.
We're hoping that the front room will be a nursery.
Very good. So you've been hard at it.
Hard at it, indeed.
And it's been the longest 2 weeks I've put in. And especially this time is the worst. Because every time you go to the bathroom, you're checking. Did I get my period? Have I lost it? And because I never know when I get it anyway. So tomorrow morning, I'm praying nothing's happening until tomorrow morning. Till we go down to Clane and get the blood test done again. But they could ring me tomorrow afternoon and say, no, it hasn't worked.
Very nerve-wracking, and the closer the time gets, the more worry there is, and we're not sure, and don't be lifting this, and Mary's very bored because she's nothing to do, so we've been sharing the ironing and all sorts of things.
I'm going off my head with boredom, and I'm seeing so much to do around the house that I always do, and I'm there going, John, will you do this? John, will you hang out the washing? Will you bring in that washing? Any chance you're doing a bit of ironing? What about the hoovering? Look at the dust of the place, because I would automatically just do everything. And now I'm just sitting there bored out of my tree, and he's going around with the hoover and I'm following him around. Get into that corner there.
So you haven't even been doing the hoovering?
I've done nothing.
Yeah, just to be on the same side.
Absolutely. I kind of have it in my head, this is it. This is the last time. And that's why I think this is why this one has been so tough. The last 2 weeks have just been horrendous compared to the other times.
Yes, that's where we are.
John and Mary are a month into the IVF process. After a decade of trying to complete their lives with a baby, today they find out if they're pregnant.
I'm going to tell you that we're just going to head on, okay? Thanks very much.
Yeah. We have the results in about an hour.
Yeah.
And you want us to phone you?
If you give me a shout,
I'll give you a call.
Okay?
No problem.
Good
luck.
Thinking of you, John, okay?
Okay.
All right. Mary too.
Martina, what's happened here? They came in this morning, they were due to have their bloods.
Yeah, so we had taken their bloods, and as Mary was leaving, she went to the bathroom and she has begun to bleed. So at this point, we have to just, it could possibly be the beginning of her period, and that unfortunately the cycle has failed. But at the moment, we have to wait on the blood test results to confirm it. It is highly unlikely, but sometimes you can have an implantation bleed, or you can have bleeding and still have a positive pregnancy test. So at the moment, we have to just remain neutral and await on that blood test result.
But as obviously visibly upset there, John, I mean...
Quite. Every couple will deal with the grief of a failed cycle or bleeding when they feel that they should not differently. And some people like to take some time out. It is a very delicate situation. You have to almost be there to comfort the patient, but also to give them room to allow them to comfort one another, which is so important as well.
That's it. 2 hours later, and the pregnancy test results are back. John calls me.
We got bad news. It wasn't successful. We're both fairly upset. Just the tarot and our bang, the nurse, they rushed through the test this morning because she had the bleed in the clinic, and they just said at this time they weren't successful. So we don't really know what we're at the moment. One thing we've agreed on is that we're going to make an appointment with Dr. Shugan as fast as we can and see just what our options are, and at least we know then what direction to go in, because at the moment we could draw the line in the sand, but we're just not quite sure. So that's where we are at present.
This my excavation.
It's early May, 4 weeks since I last saw John and Mary. 4 weeks of them trying to come to terms with the fact that their dream of completing their family is over for good. After 10 years of trying and having taken the most hostile drugs available, any further effort will be futile, and the journey has now ended for them. I'm back at their home where they tell me how they've been getting on.
Oh, God, I don't know. Down. Upset. Mm-hmm. Annoyed. Mixture of everything. But fed up as well. I've gone through all this and it hasn't worked. And it's not going to work. And I've just wasted the last 10 years of our lives trying for kids. And it hasn't worked. And just fed up and pissed off, really. And I want it to end now. Just fed up. And I'm going to draw a line in the sand and forget about it. I don't even want to talk. I know it's an off thing to say, but I don't even want to talk about kids. I don't want anyone to mention it to me again. I just want to forget about it. How about you?
Yeah, I felt it was a wee bit like, because at least now we know. So we've been working for the last 10 years to have children. Now we can't have children, but I think now we're both not exactly happy, but we now can sort of draw the line in the sand and go, right, let's get on with our lives. Let's make plans. Let's get out there and do it. Mm. You know, and we have started making plans, holidays and places to go and people to see. And
you just had to draw a line. Enough is enough, both emotionally and financially. We just can't afford really to continue doing this, forking out thousands every time and then being told it hasn't worked. Well, why hasn't it worked? I don't know. You know, it just doesn't work. Nobody knows why it doesn't work. And it's just emotionally draining. So it is. And it's just so, so disappointing when you get the news, you know, that you just waste all this time. So I've made the decision, and I think John is as well, that we just have to draw a line and forget about it now and get on with our lives. We're still young and we can go out and enjoy ourselves on our own from now on. Not with kids.
And we had always left our back garden full of grass so we could kick footballs around the back garden. So it's now we're planting an orchard instead because we don't need the space.
Like, we're thinking, why do we bother with this house down the country now? You had said that. Because that was the whole idea, to have it for kids and have the fields and everything around us. But now we're going to have it for us to go at the weekends and relax and enjoy ourselves. I'm starting again.
You're okay.
I think I'm going to be like this for a long time. Stop, you're going to start crying.
I'll start crying.
I just think it's going to take a long time to get over this and accept it. It's only been 4 weeks. And if one more person turns to me and goes, we have lots of nieces and nephews, I'll swing for them. Because it's not the same, you know? So that's it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.